You know, this is actually used to. The 1st of December was the beginning of the Christmas season, but now they start the Christmas season before we ever have Thanksgiving. But I still consider December, the 1st of December, the beginning of the Christmas season. How about anybody with me on that? And, you know, many people look forward to this season. Others are not looking, don't look forward to it because of all the struggles and stuff that they're going through. In today's world, many people are alone. And, you know, their relatives or friends, for one reason or another, won't be able to be with them. I remember as a kid growing up, you know, Dad left to go on the traveling ministry in the middle of my third grade year. And I always looked forward to December because I knew that Dad would be home for at least 1 week and sometimes two during the Christmas area time, because I saw him very little during the rest of the year except during the rest of the school year from September to May. And then I got to travel with him all summer. But, you know, some people have people all around them, but they're still alone because they're living their lives spiritually without God. They've never received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. This is not what God intended for the man that He created. God created and designed man to fellowship with Him. You can read it there in Genesis 1. You know, He created him in His image. He intended for man to have fellowship with Him. You know, Adam disobeyed in the garden. And when that happened, God's man was separated from Him. As we read in Isaiah, he saw down the channels of time. In Isaiah 7:14, he says, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." The word Emmanuel in the Hebrew language means God with us. Now, we see that prophecy being fulfilled in the New Testament. As we read Luke 2:3-7, and you'll hear these scriptures a lot during this season. "So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." So the Christmas season really is about God and man being reunited through Jesus Christ, the babe of Bethlehem. Christ was born a babe in Bethlehem, but he became the redeemer of mankind as he shed his blood on the cross on Golgotha's hill. He made it possible that man and God could reconnect. That is the truth we need to realize. Emmanuel, God with us, but I like to say it this way, God with us always. You know, in the natural, sometimes we're apart from people for various reasons, maybe because of work, military, diploma. But what a time of rejoicing and gladness when we get together again. You know, I already mentioned that Dad went out in the traveling ministry, and when I was a kid, and we missed him terribly when he went away. There would be times that he would drive all night just to, so he could be with us for a few hours. Those were great times when he got to be at home for those few hours. But you know, God doesn't come and go. He's with us 24/7, 366. Somebody said, "No, it's 365. No, if you say 365, then there's 1 year that you're leaving out that he's not with us. because of 366 days. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Because every, 4 years is it, we have an extra day. So we really are remiss when we say he's with us 24/7, 365, because we got to say 366, because if not, we leave him one day, he's not going to be. He's with us always. Amen. Say it, Emmanuel. God with us always. You know, excuse me. During this Christmas season, this is the season that we need to rejoice because of what God has done for us. This is a season that we need to try to tell others that God is here. He's with us. You know, he made a way to be with us always. For example, God told Moses in Exodus 11:12, you know, that he would be with him. But Moses said, God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? He said, I will certainly be with you, and this shall be a sign to you that I've sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. Now, he was with Moses when Moses confronted Pharaoh. He was with Moses at the Red Sea. He was with Moses when they defeated the enemies that were coming against them. He was with Moses to provide for Israel all of their needs. He was with Moses in all of his might and power. That's Jehovah God. Now look at Joshua. After Moses died, God spoke to Joshua to be the new leader. Joshua 1:2. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place the sole of your foot will tread, I will give you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness of this Lebanon as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun, all will be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Okay, here's what I want you to get. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now, you know, it's possible that Joshua could have, he could have had a little bit of an inferiority complex because Moses had been such a great leader, you know. And then besides that, the Israelites weren't the easiest people to lead. But God told Joshua a tremendous truth that helped him to be the leader he was. In Joshua 1:5, no man shall stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. As I was with Moses, so I'll be with you. That's a comforting thought. God had been with Moses to do many, many great miracles. Now God is telling Joshua, I'm going to be with you the same as I was with Moses. Now the great news is that we have a better covenant established on better promises than Moses or Joshua had. Hebrews 8:6. But now he has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he is also a mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. If God was with Moses, he'll certainly be with us. If God was with Joshua, he will certainly be with us too. In the Old Testament, God was with his people as they faced different situations. He would come and be with them. But in the New Testament, God has come to make his permanent dwelling place with us. All of us who receive Christ, Emmanuel, God with us, came to be with us all the time. Not just when we needed him to give us water or to give manna or to help us win a battle. See, that's what happened in the Old Testament. But today, we are not alone. God is with us all the time. But it's up to us to stay connected. Hello. How do you connect with God to have God with you all the time? By receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's the way you connect. You connect with God through reading of the Word of God. You connect with God through the Spirit, being filled with the Spirit of God. We connect with God by fellowshipping with the people of God. I said, it's up to us to connect with God. Hello. Okay. I got this iPhone right here. Okay. Now, there is, and we have actually just redone it in the last year or so. There's Wi-Fi in this building. A good, strong, anybody ever notice that we really have a stronger signal than we used to have? Anybody notice that? But you know what? I can have this phone, but if I don't connect to this Wi-Fi system, I can't take advantage of everything that it would do for me. Am I correct? Huh? You know. So it's up to us to connect with God, because God has already supplied. So now we have to connect. We have supplied the hardware and the software and everything for you to connect to the Wi-Fi system, but it will do you no good if you don't hook up to it, if you do not connect to it. Anybody understand what I'm saying to you? Anybody see, God promised to be with us in Matthew 28:20. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age, or the end of time. Hebrews 13:5. For he himself said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. These are verses that we can take to heart. These are verses that show us that God has promised to be there all the time, anytime, anywhere, everywhere. Amen. You know, if some really important person come to your house, or some, maybe a favorite actor or actress, or maybe a favorite sports hero would come to visit you, you'd probably get excited about it. But the truth, or maybe if some, I'm speaking to Christians here, maybe if some minister that you consider really a great minister would come to have dinner with you, you'd get excited about it. But the truth is, God is not like this, just coming to see us occasionally. You know, some of you may have children or grandchildren or relatives that, because they live in another part of the United States, only get to come and visit with you occasionally. Anybody like that? Well, it's always an exciting time when they're there, right? But with God, he's there all the time. He said he's going to come and stay with you, not just make a visit, not just drop in. He's there all the time. You know, two guys had been friends for a long time, but then they got in an argument about something. And finally, one of the guys said to the other one, I told you that we were buddies till the end, and this is the end. Hey, God's not like that. He's faithful to never leave us nor forsake us. He may not like what you're doing, but he won't leave you. You may grieve him, but he still remains with you. Since we're born again, we have the Spirit of God living with us. It's a permanent dwelling. The psalmist said in Psalms 139:7, where can I go from your Spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you're there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, and even though your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. God resides with us. Point to yourself and say this, Emmanuel, God with us, is with me all the time. Hallelujah. It don't matter where you're at, God's with you. The greater one lives in you. John tells us that. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. We got to remember that God is with us in every situation. Good, bad, ugly, indifferent. Doesn't make any difference. God is there. God's there when you're excited. God's there when there's a sad time. God is there all the time, anytime to help you out. Now, what is the significance of all of this? Will it make any difference in our lives? Those are a couple of questions that are good questions. Questions that probably need to be answered. For Israel, it meant victory and safety. Same for us. With God, we have victory and safety. You remember in 2 Chronicles 20 is a story. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehazel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jeel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly. And he said, listen, all you Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord, do not be afraid or be dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go down against them. They will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook of the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight in the battle. Position yourself, stand still, seal the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah, O Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. We see here Israel was in deep trouble. Three armies had come against them. Jehoshaphat called a time of prayer, fasting, and during this time, the Lord spoke to them in the prophecy that I just read to you. So Israel got up and they marched out against the enemy as the Lord instructed them. But then it says that the Lord sent ambushments, and the enemy, they started fighting each other and killed each other off. When Israel got to the where they were, there wasn't anybody to fight, and all they could do is gather up all of the gold and all the spoils, they call it. This incident is also a picture of Christ for us. He defeated the enemy, and now we're able to take the spoils. You know, we are more than conquerors in Christ, according to Romans 8:37. God with us. He's ready to lead us in an abundant life. John 10:10. The thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. More abundantly. See, today it may seem like you're in a losing situation, but remember, you're living with a new covenant underneath better promises than what Joshua and Moses had, and God said he'd be with them. He would just come to them when they needed him, but he's living with you. God is with you. Don't be dismayed. Get excited because God's going to see you through no matter what. They got a song that I listen to quite a bit, old Mike Perky sings, and whatever you're going through, you're going through. You get the significance, whatever you're going through, you're going through. In other words, you're going to come out victorious on the other side. Because God is with you. God promised to always be there to take care of you. God was with Moses. He was with Gideon. He was with David. He was all with others in the Old Testament. He was with those in the New Testament. He was with them in times of trouble. He was with them in times of rejoicing. He was with David when David killed the giant. He was with David when David was running for his life. He was with David when David danced before the Lord with all of his might. God is with you. What for? To help you, to deliver you, to take care of you, to keep you. You know, there's a story goes of one of the tribes. And they had a new, unique way of determining whether a boy was mature enough to be considered an adult. When he came of a certain age, someone would take him in the deep, a person would take him into the deepest, darkest forest. And he would be blindfolded. And when it grew dark, they would remove the blindfold from him. That person who brought him would leave him alone. And he would be considered successful and accepted as an adult in the tribe if he didn't scream or cry out all night long. Man, the night was dark. The boy couldn't even see his hand in front of his face. He was afraid because there was all kinds of animal sounds and everything else going on. Tree branches breaking, the wind blowing through the trees, making noise. You ever heard the wind blow and make a noise? I tell you what, I've been in the church in the middle of the night. There's more creaks and pops and stuff going on than you can imagine. Can you imagine this young lad out there? He's in the middle of the woods, we would say. You know, and all these sounds coming to him. And, you know, I'm sure he became more fearful, but he said, I can't scream out. I can't cry. A second seemed like hours. An hour seemed like a year. He couldn't sleep for fear of maybe be attacked by one of the wild animals. Finally, the morning sun broke. Light on the situation. And he looked around. And as he did, he was very shocked. Because he saw standing off to the side was his father with his bow and arrow and his machete. And he had been there looking after the son the whole night. The father stood ready to defend the son. How much more is our Heavenly Father ready to take care of us? Emmanuel, God with us. In the darkest hour, you are not alone. But God is standing there to defend you if you will believe him. You know, I preached a sermon many years ago and there was this cat standing there but behind him was a lion. And see, the cat realized that, or the little cub cat realized that his mother was behind him. There's another one, a little cub bear. And a predator is coming to take the bear. And the little cub bear, he growls with a growl. And the thing runs off. But in the background, you see this 9-foot grizzly raise up with his paw in the air. Hey, that's our God. He's standing behind us all of the time with all of his power and all of his might to deliver us. In this season, let us remember, this is the season of Emmanuel coming, God to be with us, but it is also the season that God is telling us, I will always be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Today, it's up to us to connect with Emmanuel, and let him be in our lives. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Anybody get anything out of this morning? I want you to realize that God is with you everywhere you go. All right? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, this morning we have communion. And this is Emmanuel. God with us through the shed blood and the broken body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. This is Emmanuel. If you would bow your heads for just a moment, please. If you happen to be in this place today with us, and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that's the only way to get Emmanuel to be with you always. Or you might know what it is to accept Christ, but you know that he is not with you right now because you have turned your back and walked away, and you need to come back and rededicate your life to God. With Christians praying and heads bowed and eyes closed, is there anybody on any one of those two invitations that would lift your hand right now and say, I need Christ. I need to rededicate my life to God. Anybody in this place, anywhere, upstairs, downstairs, wherever you're at, anybody, anywhere, you need to accept Christ as your Savior. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, I thank you today as we go forward in this day. If there's anybody under the sound of my voice that needs to accept Christ, I thank you right now that they won't be satisfied until they accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Thank you. With heads bowed, eyes closed, as I was praying, the Lord impressed me that there's some watching on the internet or Facebook that you need to rededicate your life to God. I want you to pray this prayer with me right now. Heavenly Father, thank you for your Son Jesus. Congregation, repeat this after me so they can hear you. I believe that your Son, Jesus Christ, came to this earth so that you could be with us. And you said in your word that if I would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ in my heart and speak with my mouth, I will be saved. I thank you today that I'm a new creature in Christ. I'm a new person in Christ because I'm saying with my mouth and I believe in my heart. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen.